To Sports Junkies 106.7 The Fan, Toby Altizer in for the guys today on Memorial Day. Mad Max Ames behind the glass running the controls today. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Want to get back into the Washington Commanders. What kind of questions do you have about this team going into this season? Again, 800-636-1067 coming up at 9 o'clock. Final hour of the show, Bobby Blanco from AssetSports.com going to join me in studio, talk a little Nats. We'll also get into the Commanders as well. Diehard DC sports fan. We'll get some of his thoughts coming up at 9 o'clock. But right now, taking a look at some of the questions about this team going into this upcoming season. So I think they've done a good job overall this offseason. I know this isn't the topic at hand right now, but what would you give them as a grade overall for this offseason, Max? Because to me, I feel like there are still some things that left me wanting a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think they've done a good job. I'd give them probably like a, B.
Yeah, I was also thinking B range, because a range would be you got an edge rusher out of any of this. Like, you got Trey Hendrickson. That would immediately move it to an A. But you filled a lot of needs, whether that would be like public, like needs that the public thinks you have, like cornerback, a little bit of running back if Bill Merritt plays out, which I hope he does. But seventh rounders rarely become anything. But love Bill Merritt. The offensive line, like, a lot of people didn't feel like it was a big need coming in, and they obviously very much did, because you saw how successful the offensive line for the Eagles was, and you want to replicate that in some way. So, yeah, I'd probably put it somewhere in the B to B plus range. You could argue B minus, but I'm somewhere in the B to B plus.
Yeah, and I think they've done a good job of addressing the needs overall, but some of the stuff just still, like you said, edge rusher, I don't feel great about their pass rush. But we'll get into that in just a second. So I have a couple for the offense. We'll start on the offensive side. And this is going to sound like me being a hater again, but I'm not, I promise. One of the questions I have on the offensive side is, who's going to be the true number two receiver? I'm like, oh, Debo. Well, it could be Debo. It very well could be. But when I look at Debo, the thing that I picture him doing, and the exercise a lot of times of how I will rate these guys, is just if I close my eyes and I'm thinking of, okay, this is the kind of offense that they're going to run, and I think this guy, what kind of roles does he play? If I close my eyes, the way that I see them using Debo is quick screens the outside, jet sweeps, drags, all stuff basically within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Going to be helpful to the offense. I'm not discounting that. And I think he'll give you 800, 900 yards from scrimmage this season. And there's no problem with that. For a fifth-round pick, great. I with the price tag, maybe a little bit much, but I think overall I'll take that. The question I have then is, who's going to be the number two guy that's going to help you outside of Terry when you're looking at route running and thinking about how in the past, think about how the 49ers have fallen, where there's some really good corners on the outside that are able to step up and lock down a number one, or they're able to go man-to-man on some of these. And it's tough to play man-to-man against Jaden. So maybe that's a little bit of a moot point there. But if, you know, what are you going to do in a situation where Terry McLaurin's getting bracketed, and can Debo beat one-on-one, or can Debo get open against zone and understand that? Maybe the number two option is just plain and simple going to be Zach Ertz. But to me,
that was last year.
It was. And to me, that's the question I have, where who's that number two? Because I know the role that Debo's going to have. And maybe he's the number two weapon, quote unquote, but he's not really a downfield guy. Terry's downfield, intermediate, kind of do a little bit of everything. But who's going to be that other guy? Does Luke McCaffrey take a step? Does Noah Brown end up getting back into that sort of role that he had last season? Jalen Lane, is he able to step in as a rookie? Michael Gallup is someone that I'm interested to see how he does. I'm not kind of counting on anything for Michael Gallup, but if he can get back to the form that he once had with the Dallas Cowboys, he was a decent number two. He wasn't great, but he could play as a number two opposite CeeDee Lamb for a little while. So I'm intrigued by those options. I wish they would have gotten a speedy guy. Maybe Lane fills that role.
That's the thing. and we kind of, I texted you this after they made the pick. Since you are the voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies on our airwaves, you've had plenty of time to watch them. So when I texted you, I asked, like, what, give me the file on him. You said small, fast, speedy, and I said he's basically Olamide Zaccheaus. And you were like, not a bad comp. So, and Olamide Zaccheaus played a very, very, very big role in the offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Lane could be that guy to take this next step.
Well, and I think that role is actually right with Olamide. The thing, though, still is when you think Zaccheaus, he wasn't necessarily running go routes.
Yeah, he wasn't, yeah, break your neck
and
speed.
I wanted someone, because it really opened my eyes when you watch that Falcons game where Terry was kind of taken out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Terrell one-on-one with him.
Yep.
And they had a safety shaded his way the entire game.
Jesse Bates was just over the top the entire
game.
Entire game.
Really, there was no chance. Look, that's a tough matchup against A.J. Terrell anyways. And Terry can still get his. You know, there are guys in the NFL that get bracketed all the time, still have good games. I understand that. But you needed someone, in my opinion, to at least get Jesse Bates or Justin Simmons or whatever safety is going to be over the top to take two steps towards the middle of the field to have to respect the other side as well.
Yeah.
And they just don't have that guy. And Jalen Lane has the speed to be that guy. But if you watched him at Tech, he didn't really run go routes all that often. He was more so running jet sweeps and end arounds and stuff, getting the ball near the line of scrimmage. Honestly, a smaller Debo style.
I was going to say, yeah.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of that. But he did have a go ball that he hit against UVA in the final game of the regular season. So I think he can do some of that. I'm intrigued to see if they'll use him in that role. But really, to me, that's kind of the big question at the receiver position. Who's going to step up into that number two sort of role, aside from Terry, to help him in that passing game so that when it comes down to it, in a big situation, who can you depend on outside of Terry and maybe like the security blanket like a Zach Ertz? 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in talking about the Washington Commanders. Let's get out to Kelly in Hyattsville. Kelly, what's going on?
Man, happy Monday to you guys. Thanks so much. I got two questions. One, will the Marshawn Lattimore trade bring the value that they thought when they got him week 10 last year? Because if he ends up being what they think he should be, and then Amos plays like a projected first-round pick, like they said they had him graded at, then that automatically makes the defensive line less of an issue because QBs have less time to pass. So that's one question I have. And then the second question is, last year the offense scored about 28 points a game, a little over. And my question is, do they have the personnel to get to above 30 points a game? Because if they do, they're going to be a dominant team. So most teams can't even scratch 30. And this has the personnel to really potentially do that. So those are my two questions.
Appreciate it, Kelly. Yeah, I think those are two good ones. We'll start with the first one that he had, talking about Marshawn Lattimore. And I think Lattimore is going to be a big piece of the puzzle this season, depending upon how he plays, on whether this defense takes a step forward or not. Because when you look at the depth chart right now, you have Lattimore, you have Trey Amos, you have Mikey Sanders still, Jonathan Jones, Noah Igbinoghene. I think there's some names there that you feel confident with. I wouldn't call that a great cornerback room, but it would be improved over what you had last season. And if you're able to have Lattimore get back to being a number one corner, I don't know that I need him to get back to Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber Marshawn Lattimore. I would love for him to get there. After what we saw last season, I wouldn't say that I have expectations that he does that. But I think the thing that I want to see is him be able to play penalty-free, him to be able to play disciplined, good football. And you just didn't see that down the stretch last season from him. You didn't. And what was interesting to me is you don't want to blame it on him, but there were times when this team, for the most part, had played very under control. They had not lost their composure. They didn't show excessive amounts of emotion. And then Lattimore showed up, and they started doing that a little bit more, a little bit more undisciplined. And some of that was just straight up Lattimore himself, but some of it was some of the other guys as well. So I would like to see him play a little more under control. Sometimes you have those corners and they're going to play with an edge. That's how it is. That's how that position goes. You need a guy to be able to to handle the ups and downs of the position. But that's a huge question going into this season. How does he play? Because if he plays like that number one corner and you give some time for Amos to kind of step into that role as the number two corner on the boundary, you give Mikey Sanra still the option to go back inside as the slot guy, and you figure it out with Igbinoghene what role he's going to play if Sanra still's back inside and Jonathan Jones has some flexibility there. Suddenly you're looking at a decent cornerback room, but I think if you end up with Lattimore being what he was at the end of last season, you're in a spot where you almost need Sanra still to then stay outside, and you need Amos to step up, because then Lattimore becomes your third or fourth corner, which is sad to say, but it's going to be interesting to see how he bounces back. You hope it was just the injury and he's able to get back on track, but the problem is, you can say you hope it was just the injury, but the dude's always been injured. It's something that's always been a problem in his career. So what gives you confidence then that him coming back this season, he's not going to re-injure the hamstring, and even if he's playing in a good, he's playing well for, say, 5, 6, 7 weeks, and then the hamstring bothers him again, and he goes back to struggling again. So he's going to be a huge linchpin this season to me for this defense, because I think the way that this defense has been built and the way that I think Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. and that defensive staff decided to go about this when they saw how this offseason started to play out, working with Adam Peters, was, I bet you it was a conversation that Peters had had with Quinn and Witt and said, hey man, do you think you can manufacture a pass rush if we can improve the secondary? Or do you think it's something where we have to get the pass rush because you can maybe find a way to disguise coverages and make things work? And to me, generally you like to build up front. That's generally the way that it is. But I think there's a way that they could look at it and say, if we can get the pass coverage that we need, the style of defense that we want to play, we can still get pressure on the passer by bringing five, by, you know, the sim pressures and bringing dudes from different spots, and Luvu's a chess piece, so we can move him around the formation, blitzing from over the center, blitzing from off the line, blitzing from the edge, blitzing all over the place and doing all sorts of stuff and stunts and games and all that stuff. We can manufacture a pass rush, but we can't manufacture coverage when our guys aren't able to cover anyone, right? So I think they probably had that sort of conversation, and that's why you see them go about it this way, where at 29, they had an opportunity for a Donovan Ezeraku, who a lot of people had mocked coming here to Washington because of the edge rusher need. A Mike Green, who people thought wouldn't be available at 29, ends up in Baltimore. They had some guys available to edge rusher. Whether those guys are true first-round talents or whatever, I don't know. And I don't know how good those guys are going to turn out to be. But they had an opportunity to address the edge rusher position, and they decided not to. They went offensive tackle, and then they went corner in the second round. And with the exception of the stuff that they did in free agency, they really didn't do a whole lot at the defensive end position. And even the moves in free agency, it's not like they went out and signed a big top-dollar guy. They signed Javon Kinlaw as an interior D lineman who might play a little bit of end at some points. But I think the big thing for that, off of that, is how do you stop the run this season? Because that to me is the other thing here, is if they want to be a defense where they're built in the back end and they can manufacture a pass rush, I think that's totally valid and fine. But they couldn't stop the run last year with the guys they had up front. And with you look at the guys that they added this offseason up front, I don't know that any of these guys are big time run stuffers. The guy they spent the most money on, Javon Kinlaw, has not been a good run defender historically throughout his career. Last season, his run defense grade, according to PFF, take it for what it's worth, but just kind of a decent metric to kind of show you what they thought of his run defense last year, was 50.8. That was 116th of 219 defensive tackles. Eddie Goldman, another defensive tackle brought in, was 47.5 in run defensive grade. And he's a big, big dude, And maybe his big thing is he can just stand there and eat up space. But he was 141st of 219 defensive tackles. Dietrich Wise, who I actually think can be a decent run defender, set in the edge with those long arms that he has, which were up there in like the 98th percentile, I think, in the National Football League in terms of arm length. 54.8 last season against the run, according to PFF. 152nd of 211 edge rushers. Just ahead of him is Jacob Martin, another guy they brought in with a run defense grade of 54.9. So it's not as if they brought in some stud edge setters and run stuffers. So I think that's the big question then, is can they stop the run? 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Jaime and Manassas. Sounds like you wanted to hit on the run defense as well, Jaime. What's going on,
man? Hey, what's going on? Happy Memorial Day. Yes, that's one of my biggest concern right there, stopping the run. I don't know if Kinlow is going to be one of the answers, but if we want to go where we want to go, we're going to go deep in the playoff like we did last year. We're going to have to play the Rams of the world. We're going to have to play the Eagles of the world. We're going to have to play the Packers of the world. They all have tremendous running game. So if we want to have a better control of the game and being able to be in games and not make it a scoring shootout, we have to be able to stop the run. And that's the biggest question mark that I have going into training camp. Also, our running game. I don't know what's going on with our running game. I don't like the running backs that we have in the room. I don't want Jaden Daniels to have to run the ball all the time. He's very, I wouldn't call him fragile, but he's very slim. And he can win games from the pocket. I don't want him running like crazy. I want to have an established running game, and I want to be able to not only protect Jaden Daniels like they did drafting a lineman and trading for Tunsil, but I also he limit his runs. If he's picking up a first down, if the sideline is wide open, that's okay. But not design runs and run him to the ground. I want him to win from the pocket.
Yeah, Jaime, I appreciate the phone call. I think you bring up some good points. Max, did you happen to send out my notes? They've stolen like half my questions, the callers have. So I guess we're thinking in lockstep, because that was one of my questions too I want to dive into next about the offensive line, upgrading that. Is that going to help out the run game? Real quick, the first caller brought up too, do they have enough to get that offense from the 28 to a 30? Look, man, I don't know that they did enough to feel like they're going to step up their game where they're averaging 30 points a game. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if they even took a little bit of a step back. But I'm hoping that part of the reason that you maybe have that step back is the defense plays better and you can play a little bit more ball control football where you can run the football, which is something that I want to dive into next. What are some questions that you have headed into the season? 800-636-1067. Again, 800-636-1067. What are some questions you have about the Washington Commanders heading into this upcoming season? Toby Altizer sitting in for the Junks here on Memorial Day. Welcome back. It is the Sports Junkies, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer sitting in for the Junks today on Memorial Day. Questions you have heading into the season about the Washington Commanders. You like to hop in, 800-636-1067. So, one of the things that Jaime Manassas brought up was, is the improved offensive line going to lead to an improved run game? And that's something that I'm really intrigued about here too, is last year in the second half, I think Danny has done a really good job of describing this. The second half of last season, they played ball control football without a run game, or at least a run game with running backs. They played ball control football with their quarterback essentially being the run game. And I don't want a repeat of that. They can do it, and I agree with Jaime's point too. Jaden Daniels led the team in rushing last year with 891 yards. Brian Robinson was second in rushing at 799 yards. If Jaden runs when he scrambles, Generally, I think he can obviously see everybody and he understands where everybody is and he can take off and run and protect himself. And I think as the season went on, he did a really good job of protecting himself and taking care of himself. So that to me is fine in those situations. I don't mind occasionally running some sort of designed run. You know, they ran a quarterback power last year where they kind of ran everybody around the end, and I didn't mind that one. They ran a quarterback trap last year up the middle that Jaden checked into on a third or a fourth down against Philadelphia. I don't mind that sort of a run. He was able to protect himself even though he was running up the middle. So some of those I don't mind from time to time. But part of the reason you have to run that stuff is because you had no real run game. Brian Robinson wasn't doing enough in the second half of last season. If you just go back and look at some of the game logs for Brian Robinson in the second half of the season, so let's start with that Thursday night game in Philadelphia. Solid performance, not great, but okay, 16 for 63 and a touchdown. From that point on, against Dallas, 5 for 13. Tennessee was the lone really good one, 16 for 103 and a touchdown, and that was with the 40-yarder in his first carry of the game. New Orleans, 21 for 65. Second Philly game, the one that they won, 10 for 24. Against Atlanta, improved a little bit, but remember, started slow and then was better after Chris Rodriguez got a couple of carries, 13 for 60. And then week 18, 5 for 10. In the playoffs, he totaled 36 for 129, 10 for 16 against Tampa, 15 for 77 against Detroit, and then 11 for 36 in the NFC title game. They have to be able to improve that offensive line and run game with the actual running backs. They have to improve. Like, there's no way around it. That running game has to be a lot better. It just was not good enough. And so I'm curious if part of the improvement is going to be that you improve the offensive line and you feel like, okay, you could have used a weapon. You could have used a more explosive running back. You could have used a more speedy receiver like I was talking about. But does the improved offensive line not only help you with some of these other areas where maybe you didn't increase the actual skill at the skill positions, but your offensive line is better, which then in turn makes your run game better, which then in turn gives Jaden a little more time, which then in turn improves everything else around it. So that's another question that I have. Will improving this offensive line actually improve the run game? You would think yes, but Laremy Tunsil isn't known as a run blocker. Josh Connerly, more pass blocker than run blocker. Those are likely going to be your tackles. I think Brandon Coleman at guard could be an animal. I think he could be really, really good. I think he could help you out a lot. I think Biadasz is going to be solid inside. But I think that's going to be big. If they can improve the run game, I think that can change a lot for this team. And then another question that I have is who's going to provide the pass rush? I know we already talked about this a little bit with edge rusher. But realistically, when you look at it, your edge rusher depth right now is Dorrance Armstrong, Dietrich Wise, Cleland Farrell, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Jacob Martin. Defensive tackle, Deron Payne, Johnny Newton, Javon Kinlaw, Eddie Goldman, and then obviously you have Frankie Louvu kind of as that chess piece. None of those guys really stand out with the exception of Frankie Louvu, who fits more in that chess piece sort of role. None of those guys really stand out as dudes that can get after the passer. So how are you going to generate that pass rush? Now, I think that they're going to be able to come up with some schemed pass rush. But at some point, too, you need a dude who can get after the passer. You need a dude that you can trust. Now, really, to me, the only two, with the exception of Louvu, that I feel like have the opportunity to get to that point where you can depend on them to find a way are both in the interior, Deron Payne and Johnny Newton. I've seen Deron Payne do it before, in a contract year, albeit, but I've seen Deron Payne do it before. I need him to have that same sort of motivation to get after the passer, to have that same sort of juice to get after the passer. I think he's got it in him. I don't know where it's gone. Maybe John Allen being let go and kind of showing that his time with the organization might be running short as well. Maybe that's some motivation. But I'd like to see Deron Payne have some more pass rush. And Johnny Newton, look, when you make a pick like they did last year with Johnny Newton, there were bigger needs than defensive tackle, obviously. And you can make the argument that it was a need, understanding that they were going to probably move off John Allen, and maybe next year they move off Daron Payne. So I understand that it maybe is a little bit more of a need than we gave it credit for. But going into last season, you still had Allen and Payne. When you make a pick like that early in the second round, that's kind of a luxury pick where you're going best player available, which is fine and generally is a good draft approach. But there were other positions that you could have addressed at that point that maybe improved the football team a little bit more. When you make a move like that for Johnny Newton and he has the season that he had last year, it's a little bit disappointing. Not to say that he was horrible and the injury that he had, which, by the way, I'm sure they knew about when they drafted him, so that was going to be a part of the whole scenario as well. But the injury last year kind of derailed his ability to be super effective for this team. You need this guy to step in and be able to get after the passer, especially considering it's not like he's the biggest guy, right? Like, he's not a massive interior presence like a Daron Payne can be, like some of these other big-time defensive tackles can be. I mean, he's listed at 6'2", 295. So it's not as if he is some interior presence that is also going to be a great run defender. Last season, matter of fact, his overall grade for PFF was a 51.6. His pass rush grade was solid, 63. His run defense grade was not good, 44.8, which was well below average and 158th of 219 interior defensive linemen. So he's going to have to improve in that aspect, and he needs to be an impactful pass rusher because he's never going to be a great run stuffer. And so I think when you look at where this team is going to go this upcoming season, you're going to need some guys to really, really step up. I think overall, with what they've done this offseason, they've improved the team. They've done a good job with some of the resources they've been given. But I think overall, there are still some questions to be had. And last year, there were questions I had about the roster, and for the most part, they answered them in a great way. I had a question about Zach Ertz being your top tight end option, and he came in and played extremely well. I had questions about plenty of things. I had questions about the weapons, frankly, all of them. Were they given Jaden enough outside of Terry McLaurin? And it turned out just fine because Jaden is spectacular, and Kliff did a really good job of scheming this stuff up. I think another question you could have about this team going into the year, last year's team had a special chemistry about it. Last year's team had a great connection. It's tough to replicate that. It's something that Coach Gibbs was on with G&D during the playoff run, and he talked about that, how year to year, you would love to just think that you're going to be able to create that same sort of brotherhood, which Dan Quinn always talks about year to year. And it's just not always the case. You like to think that you can, but it's a difficult thing to replicate year to year. And last year, they had a special brotherhood where when you looked at the teams that were left, I don't think there was a single matchup they could have had in the playoffs, AFC or NFC, where you would have looked at them and said they had definitively the better roster. I don't think you could have. They didn't against Tampa. They didn't against Detroit. They didn't against Philly. But when they went into the game, who was playing better? Who was playing better as a team? Who had a better chemistry? Who was better as a collective? And I don't know that there was a singular option outside of maybe Philadelphia that you could say played better together than what Washington did last season. All these shortcomings we're talking about, where the pass rush or the run defense or the run game or who's going to step up as that number two option in the passing game, all those things can be answered and all those things can be fixed if you have a great chemistry, if you have a team that plays incredibly well together. Because they answered all those same questions last season and got to an NFC title game with a team that, frankly, I think was decently talented. Five overcomes a lot of that talent deficiency. But I think the big thing for them was they played so well together. Can they replicate that in some sort? And who knows? Maybe you find something even more special than you had last season. The big thing for them and why you can have confidence going into every season is they've got the quarterback position figured out. And like we were talking about earlier, The beautiful part about Jaden Daniels is you never have to worry about, is he giving it his all? Is he working hard to try to be the best that he can be? You know that he is. You know that he's grinding. You know that he's trying to find ways to get better. You know he's watching the tape. You know he's doing everything possible to be the best player that he can be. And so you know that that's also going to motivate the rest of the team. I think bringing back a lot of the veterans, like a Zach Ertz, like a Bobby Wagner, was huge for this team. I think as much continuity with the one-year contracts that has kind of become a little bit of how they've decided to go about this thing with mixing in some of the young guys, the one-year veteran contracts, I think bringing back a couple of those guys, having as much continuity as possible while still trying to improve the football team with some younger talent, I think they did a good job this offseason of bringing in the right guys that they can try to replicate that as much as possible. But at the same point, it's impossible to just start with the chemistry that you had last year in day one. So it's something that's going to have to build from day one of training camp on, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Another thing that they got to figure out too real quick is they got to figure out what they're going to do with this Terry McLaurin contract. Hopefully they can get that done soon and we can get that storyline in the past. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in aboard the listener lines talking about some questions you have about the Commanders going into the season. Also, might dive into an interesting quarterback situation in the AFC. Reminder coming up at 9 o'clock, Bobby Blanco from MassinSports.com set to join me here on 106.7 The Fan. You're listening to the Sports Junkies on The Fan.
Can Aaron Rodgers ever go to the Bears?
Oh, boy. Security, can we get her out of here? We need some security.
Can you take it easy on her? That's
fine. No, but I believe there's a team that might play in Chicago this year.
Let's go!
On a road trip. I don't know. I'm not sure. Gotta check it out.
Are you speaking in code?
I love Chicago, though. Way more than they love me. It's been a great relationship, all one way.
That's Aaron Rodgers. Would it be an off-season of NFL football if there wasn't some Aaron Rodgers drama?
Of course not.
Like, it feels like a rite of passage for the NFL offseason that there's just going to be something Aaron Rodgers related. And the big question this offseason is he going to play football and is it going to be for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because to me, that's the only option left, right?
I mean, you really think they're going to go into the season with Mason Rudolph as QB1?
I mean, maybe you see what happens in minicamp.
Yeah, camp cuts and all that, but
with Will Howard? Am I crazy to think that maybe you could give him a shot?
Listen, Steelers fans would hate that. I would love to watch from a distance, from a very, very far distance.
Yeah, I just don't know. Right now, their depth chart is Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson. How do you go into the year with that? Like, Pittsburgh, to me, they need to do one of two things. Either go all in on sucking, which makes no sense when you just traded for DK Metcalf. Because to me, what's happened with Pittsburgh is they've got caught in this rut where it's just all about
9-8.
Hey, we finished above 500. Mike Tomlin, you know, he never has a losing record. Well, congratulations. He also doesn't win anything anymore.
Yeah, you've like, cornered yourself.
It used to be about Lombardi's in Pittsburgh. Now it's just about the badge of not finishing below 500. So you either need to bottom out, or if they're going to continue in this cycle, go get Aaron Rodgers. Because who else are you going to start at quarterback? You can't tell me you're going to try to win with that quarterback crew that you got right now. And with the guys that they've brought in, you don't trade for a DK Metcalf thinking towards the future. You don't sign a Robert Woods thinking that you're going to try to improve in the future, right? Like, you don't do any of that stuff. You're trying to win now, and you've got a defense that's built to win now still. TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, as good of a pass-rushing duo as there is in the league. Like, they've got some really, really good players. I think it's got to be Aaron Rodgers. Now, the question becomes, should they do it with Aaron Rodgers? But I think they've put themselves in a spot now where you kind of have to. Like, how else are you going to sell Pittsburgh fans on this season without at least trying to go get a quarterback? And there just aren't going to be ones that come available. Now, I've seen that they're monitoring the Kirk Cousins situation.
As they should be.
Well, to me, if you're going to do that, What's the better option? Kirk or Aaron Rodgers? And
for me, Kirk.
Well, I know that's probably going to be the popular opinion, but you have to give up a pick, which probably isn't going to be much.
You'd hope.
But you're also going to have to pay a lot of that contract versus Aaron Rodgers is also going to sign a one-year deal, unlikely a two.
Yeah.
So he's going to sign 1 year. What do you think? 18, 20? Somewhere around there?
I guess, yeah.
So would I rather be saddled with Kirk for a couple of years, who might be just as bad, if not worse, than Aaron Rodgers?
This is true.
Or do I want to just take a one-year experiment with Aaron Rodgers? I kind of lean Rodgers.
Yeah, thinking more about it, like, Kirk hasn't... the last time we saw Kirk, he looked dreadful. Last time we saw Aaron Rodgers, he looked serviceable.
Yeah, serviceable. Like, he's not great, but I don't think when you look at their offense that he has to be great. Like, I think they're actually going to have a decent run game. Jaylen Warren's going to get a more featured role now. Caleb Johnson is able to handle the role, more of a workload, right? So those two working in tandem, I actually think, is an upgrade over Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. They've got some talent on that team. I just don't understand how you could go into the year and put yourself in this situation. It makes no sense to me how they put themselves in this spot. Now, frankly, I don't really understand where else they could have gone. You know, a big discussion point was Shador. And everybody passed on Shador 5 times.
As you said, multiple times they did.
So they obviously didn't want to deal with that. I actually like Will Howard fitting into a system where he doesn't have to do too much. But can you really trust a guy that was drafted in the 6th round to start right away? It's not, like, he's not going to step in and be Tom Brady. He's not going to be Brock Purdy, more than likely. So,
how do you know?
I just don't understand how you could sell your fans on that being a good idea. But then you have to ask yourself, I think Rodgers as a football player could help out this football team. I don't think there's any question. And signing Aaron Rodgers, the football player on Madden, would work just fine.
That, great point. It would. But you put him in a locker room
signing him in real life?
Yeah. If you put him in a locker room with DK Metcalf and... You could have put him in a locker room with George Pickens, but
that would not have worked out great. That would have been prime television viewing.
Listen,
Aaron Rodgers and George Pickens.
George Pickens NFC East now.
Could
we're going to be watching that all year.
The conversations being had if Aaron Rodgers and George Pickens were in the same room?
To be honest with you, no. I could not.
I just can only imagine Pickens yelling at Rodgers on the sideline and Rodgers throwing out the most philosophical... stupid quote of all time.
Man, here's this book. Why don't you read this and then come back to me?
AJ Brown style. Please read this book on the sideline.
Yeah, it's about September 11th. Let's not ignore that.
It's just all about conspiracy theories.
It's very interesting. Just read it. That's all. That's all I ask.
It very well could be. It's going to be an interesting one to watch because to me, it's either Pittsburgh or bust for Aaron Rodgers. If he plays in Pittsburgh, great. Otherwise, I don't see another landing spot for him, and that'd be a weird way for an all-time great to go out.
It would be bizarre.
Because, frankly, it would have nothing to do with his playing ability. Because he could still be one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, he'd be top 32. There's no question about that.
Final hour coming up next of the Sports Junkies. Bobby Blanco from MassinSports.com going to join me. We'll talk about the Nationals homestand, also get into some Commanders offseason stuff as well. You're listening to the Junkies at 106.7 The Fan.